We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's now switch some gears here and talk some Atlanta Braves, as we are now pleased to be joined by the television voice of the Atlanta Braves, Chip Carey. He joins us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, along with Thomas Mott, Will Pelagic here. Chip, thank you so much for taking some time on this Labor Day. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good morning.
So from the Atlanta perspective, August was very plentiful. 19 wins, 45 home runs, a record inside Major League Baseball. Hard to have a better month for this team. And I really think, and you can agree with me or disagree, I think they've come into its own, especially with the additions.
I think so, too. I mean, you mentioned 19-9 record. That's pretty remarkable when you consider who this team lost. You lost Brian McCann. You lost Nick Markakis. You lost Ender Inciarte. I mean, this team was ravaged by injuries. Dansby Swanson, another guy that went down. Really a remarkable job by Brian Snitker and Alex Anthopoulos to not only rejuvenate the 25-man roster, but to utilize those weapons in such an effective and creative way. And this is going to be one hell of a race over the final 27 days of the season between us and the Nationals. Every day we win, every day they win. It's going to be a heavyweight prize fight over the final seven games that we play them. And look, the Braves aren't looking past the Toronto Blue Jays coming up, but this weekend's going to be epic, and it's going to go a long way toward deciding who ends up the Eastern Division champ for sure.
Chip Carey joining us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chip, Freddie Freeman last night went 3-for-4, two more home runs added to his already incredible resume. Snitker said last night in the postgame that if he's not the NL MVP, then something's wrong with the voting. Where do you stand right now on Freddie Freeman for the National League MVP?
He's got to be in the discussion. Look, I think early in the season with Christian Yelich and Cody Bellinger doing what they were doing for the Brewers and the Dodgers, respectively, they deserved all the accolades. But, you know, Yelich has been hurt, hasn't played an awful lot. Bellinger's playing for the Dodgers in L.A., huge media market, great attention, best team in the National League the last couple of years. Understandably, he gets a ton of attention. But the people who follow this team like we do every day see what Freddie Freeman does. He's a gold-gloved defender at first base. He hits third in the lineup. He gets the big hits. He is a leader in the locker room, i.e., talking with Ronald Acuna Jr. after a non-Hustlegate a couple of weeks ago. He's just such a steadying presence in our lineup, and I think the reason he doesn't get the attention is he doesn't seek it. He doesn't go out of his way to pump himself up in the media. He just goes out and does his job. There's a real prideful purpose in the unrewarding job aspect of how he goes about his business. So, yeah, I agree with Brian Snitker. We've talked about it a lot. Freddie Freeman is certainly the MVP of this team, and I think certainly he's got a great case to be the MVP of the National League for all those attributes that I mentioned.
You know, Chip, a lot of the small sample size hot takers are very, very quick to be critical of the Braves' bullpen switches after it didn't look like they worked out right off the bat at the end of July going into early August. How encouraged are you by the fact that that situation seems to have stabilized itself?
A lot. I think Brian Snitker also said very well, look, you get three new guys, it's kind of like the first week of spring training when these guys parachute into your system. You've got to figure out who they are. Forget the pitching part, forget the baseball part. You got to figure them out as people. What's their best role? What do they want to do? There has to be a familiarity and comfort level between each other as professionals that has to be developed. And then you have to figure out, okay, what's their best role and who fits best where? And I think there were some growing pains involved in that. And look, we live in a first impression society. We all know that the Braves bullpen had awful troubles right before the trade deadline, almost blew that game up in Washington. And then the three new guys came in and struggled off the bat, and everybody said, well, what the heck is this? I mean, this isn't working out too well. But those three guys have stabilized things. Luke Jackson, I voted for him, by the way, for Relief Pitcher of the Month in the National League. That's how good he was for Atlanta in August, and he's been much better in the sixth and seventh inning, and he's a huge weapon. Now the Braves have four guys with closing experience who can cover the final four innings of a game. There aren't too many teams that can say that, and I think those guys have now settled into their role with Melanson and Green and Martin setting him up, and then Luke Jackson being the sixth, seventh inning swing guy.
You mentioned
that's a really nice way to set things up.
you mentioned that the bullpen obviously taking its stride right now as we have about 24 games left in this season. Let me ask you this, because a lot of people are debating how the playoff rotation should go with the starters. If you were setting up the playoff rotation for today, the playoffs started next week, how would you set up your starting rotation?
Assuming it's the Cubs and we start at home, I'd start with Keuchel first. He's been great at home. The Cubs have those left-handed hitters, Rizzo and Hayward and guys like that. You want to neutralize them. So I'd go Keuchel first. He's been there. Get you off to a good start. I'd go Soroka game two. And right now you could go with either Fried or Julio Teheran. Max in Wrigley Field has pitched well, so maybe you go with him. And if you want the luxury of using a fourth starter in a short series, you could have Julio Teheran. There are no bad choices right now, the way things are going for the Braves pitching staff, and that's a good thing. Ultimately, Max Fried, the next step for him in his evolution is not throwing 97 with all of his fastballs. I talked with Steve Stone about that. He's got a big fastball, good curveball. If he can learn to throw 94 and get outs and save 97 for when he needs it, he might be able to go deeper into games. But, I always like having left-handed pitchers face those Cubs because you neutralize guys like Anthony Rizzo. And Fried's shown he can pitch well on the road. Keuchel has shown he's been great at home. And Mike Soroka anywhere is just fine with me.
Braves television voice Chip Carey joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Braves hosting Toronto to conclude to continue the homestand, I should say. Soroka on the mound this afternoon, part of a two-game set with the Blue Jays. And, the 14 games that follow the Blue Jays, of course, come against both Washington and Philadelphia, Chip. If you had to evaluate how that would go, what would you say a minimum amount of victories for you to feel comfortable about the Braves going into the final 2 weeks, at least with that division lead being so slim where it is?
Well, you just don't want to get swept. You just win series. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. The advantage the Braves have is that they have a lead, and every day that they play and win is another day off the calendar that the Nationals or Phillies can't catch them. Ideally you'd like to take care of business and win the series outright with the Nationals and bury them right here, right now, end it. But that team is way too talented, I think, to sweep a four-game series. And ultimately it's going to come down to who can control the other guy's superstar the best. Look, Anthony Rendon's got to be in the MVP candidacy for the Nationals, too. He single-handedly carried that team. Remember, they were 19-31 at one point and left for dead. People were talking about firing Dave Martinez and all of that. They've righted the ship because Rendon put the team on his back and has carried him into this upcoming series with the Braves. And you know about Freddie Freeman and how he destroys their pitching. So, they're going to have their best four going at our offense. Our best four are going to go after theirs. We've got the first matchup here at home where we hope SunTrust Park will be a big home field advantage for them. Two really good clubs that know each other very well. There will be no secrets. There will be no surprises. It's who plays the best, obvious mistake-free baseball, and who gets the big hits. And the Braves have been able to do that, especially late. And the key might be the bullpen, believe it or not. The Nationals' bullpen has undergone a lot of changes. It's not been particularly good. Sean Doolittle's rehabbing after his stint on the injured list. So we'll see what kind of stuff he has when he comes back. And I would say that would be the one question mark I have going into that series is, whose bullpen can pitch best? And if the Braves are pitching like they are right now, I'd say they have a decided advantage in the series, but we'll see.
Ronald Acuna picked up a couple more steals over the weekend, currently sitting at 36 home runs and 33 stolen bases. The quest for 40-40 is going to be difficult. Do you think he gets it done by the end of the year?
He's got a shot. He's got a shot. He's got to swing the bat better than he is right now, though. He's not driving the ball very well. He's missing fastballs, and he's going through a little bit of a, mini slump. Look, it's a long year for these guys. And again, we talked about that on the broadcast last night. It's until you've done it, until you've been through a 162-game marathon, you're really not prepared for it. And I think that's the challenge for the younger guys on the team. Guys like Markakis and Freeman and McCann have been through September before. Most of these kids for their professional careers up until Acuna and Albies last year, their season's over September 1. Well, now's the time when the stars really shine, and we're going to see a ton of stars these next 2 days with the Braves and Toronto colliding, and the same with the Nationals coming up. I wouldn't stack any odds against Ronald Acuna doing anything that he's wanting to do on a baseball field. The guy's electric. He's the Mike Trout of the National League, or at least is on his way to being that. And we're lucky to have him. And, yeah, it'd be fantastic for him to cap a division-winning season for the Braves with a 40-40 year for him personally.
We're talking with Braves television voice Chip Carey here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as the Braves again turn the page to the month of September. That series win over the Dodgers in the middle part of August, again, might not completely expunge the sweep in L.A., but how important was that for confidence purposes? Again, I know that looking way, 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 way too far ahead to a potential NLCS matchup against L.A., but if it does come to pass that way, Chip, how much will that particularly play in the minds of the Braves players as well as those, of course, in the fan base who want to at least see some encouraging signs going up against what many believe is at least the top team, arguably, in the National League?
Yeah, look, it's certainly good for the confidence muscle. Anytime you beat one of the best teams in baseball, you feel good about yourself, and the Braves did that. They played well. And so often it comes in those playoff series, it's the unlikeliest of heroes who comes up and provides a big blow for you. Remember, Mark Lemke was a relatively unknown guy until he burst on the scene of the playoffs in the early 90s for the Braves. In that Dodgers series, it was Rafael Ortega who hits a grand slam. Nobody saw that coming. But that sort of sums up what this organization and this 40-man roster has done all year for the Braves. Look, we didn't see Buehler. We didn't see Kershaw in that three-game series. Or excuse me, I think we did see Buehler. We didn't see Kershaw in that series. Point being, they still beat up on L.A. They beat them flat out. And some of those guys that we saw are guys that they're going to see in postseason play, and they know how to get them out. They just have to go and do it. And last year in the playoffs, look, I think the Braves were very well aware of where they stood in the baseball pecking order in the National League. The baseball gods tapped them on the shoulder and said, okay, your time is now, maybe a year or two ahead of schedule. And we knew going into that series with the Dodgers that they were deeper, they were more experienced, and that their pitching was ahead of ours. But I think the lessons learned from that have been applied this year by the Braves front office and by Brian Snitker. Depth is incredibly important. Flexibility is incredibly important. And having wave after wave of pitching is incredibly important so that you can survive the injuries and the bumps in the road that come your way over the course of 162 games. So there's ultimate respect there for L.A. They have done unbelievable things over the last 3 years. But the Braves feel like they're up and coming, and they feel like they're up for the challenge. And I don't think there's a team that they fear. And whether it's the Dodgers or the Nationals, the Cubs or the Cardinals, whoever they match up with in the playoffs, should they get there, they're going to go in full of vim and vigor and feel like they've got a chance to beat them in advance, which is something that hasn't happened here in a long time in the first round of the playoffs.
Is it a red blazer day for you, Tommy and Frenchie, or no?
Not today. Not today. That's only on Fridays. We only get that on Fridays. That's the Friday redout, so you'll probably see one when the Nationals are in town. We just got to get the jackets tailored. Jeff's blazer's a little big. Either that, he's got to get in the weight room and stop eating donuts. Either way, we'll make him look better on Friday than usual.
Yeah, that press box food is unforgiving. Appreciate the time as always, Chip. Thank you so
yes,
much.
It and, is. We're playing for a tie, baby. That's all we can
there
do.
There you go.
Best of luck down the stretch, of course, and thanks again for joining us.
Anytime, guys. See you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.